Good morning, everyone. I'm up here to read a very, very short scripture, which is why I'm going to just explain that this is from the book of Malachi, who was a minor prophet, and this is the last book of the Old Testament, of which the theme is much about justice. And this verse comes from a section where God is explaining how he will come to judge the injustices of Israel, and what he has to say about where he fits into all this and how we can justify any type of wrongdoing we want, but God knows that his views on these things don't change. What he has to say about that is, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed.
Well, good morning again, and it's a privilege to be here. Seems like a long time ago, but it's probably been a year or more. But I appreciate the opportunity to come back here to your church and to share this morning. Just a couple of things about the Bible Society I'll tell you. These are available at the back of the foyer. Please take one. It's kind of an update. Just a few statistics that you might be interested in that I'll share with you. The Canadian Bible Society is one of 140-some Bible societies around the world under the umbrella of the United Bible Society. And in 2013, 410 million Bibles were distributed through the United Bible Society. And in Canada last year, 900,000 scriptures were distributed. And just to let you know that there is God's Word is going out. I have the privilege in just a couple of weeks to visit one of the countries where there's a revival going on. The church in particular, the evangelical church, is growing at 15% a year in Cuba, and they can't keep up with the request for Bibles. A colleague of mine was there a short time ago, and he attended a little Baptist church of about 100 people, and he said they had four Bibles for the whole congregation. And so the pastor had an old Gestetner machine, you remember those? And he would type up the scripture and run it off and hand it out to people as they leave. So I'm going on the 22nd of October, taking three people with me who have graciously supported this project in Cuba, and we'll be involved in Bible distribution for 10 days. We'll be going to schools and churches and to individual homes distributing God's Word. And I would appreciate your prayers for that. The project is called A Million Bibles for Cuba, and we're working with the American Bible Society, the Bible Society of Norway, and the Bible Society of Australia to provide this million Bibles over the next 3 years. The Canadian responsibility of the Canadian Bible Society is to support it by $100,000 a year for the next 3 years. But let me just say thank you for the support that this church has given and individuals in the church for your faithfulness to assisting the Canadian Bible Society in getting God's Word out. And again, there's much more detail, and you're welcome to take these. They're in the foyer of the church this morning. I'd like to pray before we share God's Word. Father, thank you again this morning for your Word. We believe in the power of Scripture to change lives, to transform lives, to change communities, and even countries. And I pray this morning, as we share your Word, that your Holy Spirit would take your truth and apply it to our lives. May we leave church this morning with a greater confidence and a trust in you than we had when we came. Just be with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I realize that this church is in a process of change and transition. The subject this morning of the sermon is simply this: some things never change. Some things never change. And we read, our friend read from Malachi, "For I am the Lord, I change not." I want that scripture to just beat in your heart. I am the Lord, I change not. And then I want to read several selected verses from the psalmist. Psalm 9:7 says, "The Lord endures forever." Psalm 72, verse 17 says, "His name shall endure forever." Psalm 105 says, "His truth endures forever." Psalm 104, verse 31 says, His glory endures forever. Psalm 106, His mercy endures forever. Psalm 111, His righteousness endures forever. Psalm 111, verse 10, His praise endures forever. And Psalm 119, verse 160, His righteous judgments endure forever. Psalm 145, verse 13 says, His dominion endures forever. We were singing that beautiful hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, a couple of lines, and it says, Thou changest not, thy compassions they change not, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. I recently read of a preacher who spoke of change in our fast pace of living in these words. He said, In my community, people are coming and going so fast that I feel like I'm preaching to a parade. We're living in a society of change, constant change. And someone has said that the only constant is change. The only constant is change. And I can't get over, I'm getting up there now, but I can't get over the changes that I've seen in my lifetime. Some things that I remember well, the current generation, and even my granddaughter's age, they have no idea what we're talking about in some of these. Let me reflect on just a few of which some of you, I think, will be able to identify with. Do you remember the old crank telephone? Anybody remember the crank telephone? Or what about the chamber sets with the chamber pot under the bed? Some of you remember those. I don't suppose you remember the outhouse. There was always a Sears catalog in the outhouse. You remember that? My grandparents always had a feather tick on the bed. You know what that was? Boy, they were warm, very warm. Some of you might not remember this, but I remember this as a child, and I hated it. It was a sawdust furnace. We had a sawdust furnace in the house, and you had to go down every 3 or 4 hours to fill that hopper with sawdust to keep the furnace going and heating the house. What about oil lamps? You remember the oil lamps? Everyone had them, and now they sell for a big price in our shop in Innisfail, these old oil lamps. And before school buses, kids don't like to hear this, but I walked 2 miles each way to school. But times have changed. My, how times have changed. How things are in constant change. I read some time ago some American statistics, but it almost blew my mind to realize some of these things. And it happens in Canada as well. I'm going to read them to you. It says this, that every day in America, 108,000 people move to a different home. Every day, 108,000 people move to a different home. 18,000 people move to another state in the U.S. 700 people every day are moving to Florida. Can understand that. Every day in America, we're told that the United States government issues 50 more pages of regulations. Now, we're talking daily here. 40 Americans turn 100 every day in the U.S. 5,800 become 65 every day. And every day in America, 167 businesses go bankrupt, while 689 new ones start up. And 100 Americans become millionaires every day. And every day in America, Americans purchase 45,000 new automobiles and trucks and smash 87,000 of them. More than 6,300 get divorced, while 13,000 get married. Every day in America, they eat 75 acres of pizza. They eat 53 million hot dogs. They eat 167 million eggs. Now again, we're talking every day in America. They eat 3 million gallons of ice cream every day and eat 3,000 tons of candy. More information has been produced in the last 30 years than in the previous 5,000 years. That has a lot to do with the modern technology, internet, and so on. More than one half of the scientists who have ever lived are alive today. 90% of all the items in the supermarket today did not exist 10 years ago. Think about that. It's estimated that 50% of college graduates are going into jobs which did not exist when they were born. It's also estimated that 90% of the businesses in the United States today were started in the last 25 years. 90%. These kind of changes are taking place in every field. Travel has changed. More than 200 years ago, George Washington traveled from Virginia to Washington, D.C. by horseback. It could take him 10 days traveling at a speed of 25 miles per day. Today, astronauts can enter a space shuttle and travel at 25,000 miles per hour. At that speed, you could fly from New York to San Francisco in 8 minutes. With all these advances in air travel, it is possible to have breakfast in New York, lunch in Dallas, and dinner in Los Angeles, and have your luggage wind up in Mexico. One man put it this way: my great-grandfather rode a horse, but was afraid of the train. My grandfather rode a train, but was afraid of a car. My father rode in a car, but was afraid of an airplane. I ride in an airplane, but I'm afraid of a horse. Since the 30s, movies have gone from silent to unspeakable. Since the 50s, when we had three networks, NBC, ABC, and CBS, there are now over 750 channels, so that by the time we find the program we want to watch, it's usually already over. See? And to many, television talk shows have become just one big grab bag of dysfunctional people talking about their miserable lives. Reality. One in every four members of, now this blows you away, one in every four members of a church or synagogue is a victim survivor of sexual or domestic violence. Drug abuse, suicide, sexual disease, and AIDS are major problems that should concern every one of us. Our schools are in trouble. In the 50s, the major discipline problems in our public schools were cigarette smoking, skipping class, running in the halls, spitballs, chewing gum, and whispering in class. Today, and the events of this past week, we are reminded the major problems are deadly weapons, kids carrying guns, knives, and even assault weapons. This is followed by arson, drugs, vandalism, and drunkenness. Recently, in a Florida high school, teacher observed a number of boys in the corner of the gymnasium on their hands and knees. Rushing up to the boys, the teacher demanded, "What are you doing?" One of the boys looked up and answered, "We're shooting dice." The teacher responded with, "Oh, thank goodness, I thought you were praying." It's a changing world that we're living in. Relationships are changing. 50% of our marriages now end in divorce. I read something last night that those who marry between the age of 21 and 25, that 60% of those marriages end in divorce. And the odds are when a couple walks down the aisle to be married, their marriage will not last 7 years. One of them will walk out before the warranty of the refrigerator runs out. 42% of our young people say they are sexually active, and one of every 16 teenage girls has a baby each year. Our society has abandoned God's laws of relationships and has been writing their own. We've reached a state where common decency is no longer common. All our doing without God has finally outdone us. With all these changes creating chaos and crisis, we as a church have been trying to hold on. Just look how change has been impacting our churches. Here we go. 80 to 85% of the churches in America are on a plateau or are declining. The number of unchurched Americans is escalating to 60% or more in the 90s. Two-thirds of our children in America are receiving no religious training. We are facing years when it will become increasingly difficult to minister, probably already. The church is dealing with issues no one could ever imagine 50 years ago. So as our world appears to be whirling out of control, racing toward a collision with certain calamity, what can we do? We must remember that God is still in charge and God hasn't changed. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. And sometimes when we're overwhelmed with these statistics and we see the changes that we see, we need to be reminded that our all-powerful God of the universe he's in control. He never loses track of what's going on. He never gets confused. He never frets over decisions. He always makes the right decision. He always knows what he will do even before the circumstances arise. God has a grip on the reins of the world, and his purpose will be carried out. Sometimes we're blinded to that when we realize everything that's going on. The scriptures speak of our changeless God in this changing world when they state in Malachi, "For I am the Lord, I change not." That should give us this morning a confidence, a renewed confidence and a renewed trust. And we cannot deny, with all of this information just quoted, that our world is in a world of change. But we need to be reminded, in the midst of all this change, God is still in charge and that God never changes. I want to look very briefly now at three aspects of our unchangeable God. First of all, God is not changing the way he feels about you and me. That will never change. His attitude, his feelings towards you and me, even though our world may be messed up, his feelings towards us never change. God loves us and has created us to have a relationship with him. He loved the first man, Adam, in the garden before he sinned, and he loved that man after sin entered the picture. How do I know God loves me today? The Bible says in 1 John 3:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And then this verse, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me remind you this morning that in this changing world, in this world of constant change, that God's love for us never changes. Never changes. I often quote the phrase that says, "There's nothing I can do to make God love me more, and there's nothing I can do to make God love me less." His love for you and me never changes. You ought to be thankful this morning that God doesn't change the way he feels about you. He loves you just as much today as he ever loved you. No matter what you do, you won't change that. You can't make God love you anymore. In a world of constant change, God's love has never changed. Secondly, this morning, God has not changed his attitude towards sin, even though the world and sometimes the church has, but God has not changed his attitude towards sin. We live in a society that is constantly compromising on the issue of sin. Some might want to call sin by some other name, but sin is sin. And what was sin 50 years ago is still sin today. God has not changed his feelings, his attitude on sin. Someone has said you might change the label on poison, but poison is poison. And likewise, sin is sin no matter what you call it. In Romans 5:12, we read, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Because of one man's disobedience, you and I were made sinners. Because of one man's sin, we were all made sinners. You may not like it, you may not agree with how that works, but you don't have to like it, you don't have to agree with it. That's just the way it is. And the very fact is, we are all born in sin, and God does not change his attitude towards sin. Age does it to you, I'm sure, but I do ask myself the question, how come things that were sinful when I was young are fully accepted in society and fully accepted in the church in a lot of cases? We need to be reminded in this world of constant change that God does not change. He never will. He never has changed his love for you as an individual or for me as an individual. That will never change. I suppose at this point in my life, the thing that I value the most in my Christian faith is that truth, that no matter what, God loves me. And secondly, this morning, in a world of constant change, we need to be reminded that God has not changed his attitude or his feelings towards sin. Sin is sin. Sin is disobedience to God. And thirdly, this morning, thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. God has not changed his plan of salvation. Wow. There's a lot of people that think there are different ways to get to heaven, that there are different ways to have eternal life, but God's plan has not changed. In a pluralistic society, when many people are offering their means of eternal life, God affirms in his word that there's only one plan of salvation. It's the plan he used in the garden with Adam. It's the plan by which Moses was saved. It's the plan by which Noah was saved. It's the plan by which every man or woman have ever been saved or ever will be saved. Salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is by confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Salvation is by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's a lot of compromise of that in our society today. There are people who believe if they do certain things or they dress a certain way or if they avoid certain situations that that's how they get eternal life. God's not changed the plan of salvation. And I think about it as we, before we know it, we'll be into the Advent season. And there's a prime example of how people don't want to acknowledge the reality of Christmas, the Christmas story. That's not changed. That was all part of God's plan. I trust this morning that you will find encouragement in this one-line promise of God. For I am the Lord, and I change not. For I am the Lord, and I change not. Despite all the changes around me, God's love for me will never change. Take that home with you this morning. Hold on to that. God's attitude and feelings towards sin have not changed, never will change. May that be a means of helping you in your daily walk with the Lord. And this morning, be grateful that God's plan of salvation has not changed. It's only through believing and confessing to the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved and we have salvation. Being confident this morning in God's love for you, know that in God's eyes, sin is sin, and be thankful for God's plan of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ.